Message, M040, The Anointing of God. A word given by Cecil J. DuSeal, 20th of April, 1971.
Praise the Lord. I really enjoyed the brethren giving forth the word of the Lord. And what I enjoy more than the word they gave was the anointing with which the word was given. For I cannot enjoy words. It's a problem with me. You can speak the truth, you can say they repeat the exact words from somewhere, and if the anointing is not there, I just can't enjoy. But I enjoy the word, hallelujah, when there's an anointing on the word. That is when the Spirit of God moves forth with the word from the person. If you are in the direct will of God in standing here, if you are moving right with God at the time you are given the word, then the anointing of God is not only on you but on the hearers of the word. And there is a quickening in the persons who hear you. Amen. Much better than that, I'll tell you something. You go home and you pray and you equip yourself with God and with the anointing of the Spirit before you come to this meeting, and when you come through that door, you electrify the atmosphere without saying one word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now this is what we want. We are not people who depend on words. We are not people who love words. We're not people who love long preaching.
Amen.
We are people who want the anointing of God. Amen. I want the anointing of God in my life more than I want to live.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And without the anointing, I do not want to live.
Yes.
I don't want to learn Bible to tell people. I don't want to put words together. I want God to walk with me.
Amen.
Amen. And in Deuteronomy we saw God saying to Moses, Numbers 12. That's right. Check it for me, please. It's not Deuteronomy at all. Numbers 12. I hope I'm right. Now let's go up a little bit from verse 6, all right? And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. God's testimony of a man. Isn't this beautiful? God Almighty condescend to come down to tell other men about his man Moses. Well, I never seen anything like this. Amen. And with him, verse 8, will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, meaning to say, I will even appear to him that he can see something while I'm speaking to him. Amen. And not in dark speeches. You don't have to interpret his vision. Amen. God just tell him dead on the bullseye what he means to say. No interpretation. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He will see God with his eyes. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Praise God. Well, we know what happened afterwards. I want you to turn back with me to to Deuteronomy. Let's see, it's 8. It's not that I'm looking for. You have to forgive me. I'm skidding a little bit here. Praise God. I'll tell you without you finding it. A scripture that came to me suddenly while I was talking to you is when Moses said to God, God, I will not go up unless you go with me. And God said to Moses, Moses, I cannot go with you. If I go personally with you, then my power will destroy Israel. For they are still committing sins. I cannot go up in the midst of you. And Moses said, God, if you don't go with me, I am not going up before this people. And God said, okay, I will send my angel with you. Praise be to God. And that anointing was so great and terrible that God Almighty said, beware of him. He said, you Moses and the people of Israel, beware of the angel I am sending with you, for he will not pardon your iniquities. Now, God was saying to Moses, when you people sin against me, you come and you repent to me and I pardon you. But he said, I'm sending an angel strong enough, terrible enough, to destroy the Amalekites. Strong enough, terrible enough, to roll back the Red Sea. Strong enough to destroy all the hosts of Pharaoh without one bat of an eyelid. He said, watch out for him. Amen. I have given him orders to destroy the enemies of God. And if you become an enemy of God, you will be destroyed. Oh, bless God Almighty. That was an anointing. God said to Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, Moses, a rod. God, Moses said, Lord, a rod. He said, okay, throw it down. And there was such an anointing in Moses' rod. The rod of his authority, which to us today is our faith. This is our rod. Yeah. Ah, hallelujah. There was such an anointing that Moses lifted up the rod like this, and all Egypt trembled. The man Pharaoh was afraid of Moses. When Moses had that rod in his hand, Egypt trembled before him. He stretched out the rod and all the water in the land of Egypt became blood. Why? Did you ever ask yourself the question why? Do you think it was a chemical that he dispensed over Egypt? Do you think that God made some chemical reaction follow the rod? God had thousands of spirits obeying Moses' rod. And as Moses stretched forth the rod, whatever Moses desired, according to the will of God, they would rush forward and do it. My God, the rod was the sign, amen, of the anointing to them, which sent them flying to do the will of the man behind the rod. We prove this when Moses met the host of Midian, and the Midianites begin to beat back the Israelites. And Moses lifted up the rod and the Israelites began to beat back the Midianites. Why? Because the spirits of God were not going to obey anything else but that rod. And when he lifted the rod, amen, those spirits obeyed Moses, obeyed all that he wanted them to do. And he was tired. And he dropped down his hand with the rod, and the spirits backed off.
And the Midianite began to push Israel back again. Said, quick up with that rod. Oh, my hand is tired. Caleb and Joshua had to lift that hand up and hold those two hands up so that Israel could win. Brethren, I don't think that, as we are told here tonight, 1970, we were playing with toys. And 71, God is moving us into reality. Amen. God is moving us into adolescence. I wouldn't say sonship. We teenagers. And blessed be the God, as teenagers, we begin to realize what our Father is doing. Yes. And what our part is. And that we are part of this household. And our responsibilities begin to grow. Amen. Amen. Yes. And as our responsibilities begin to grow, we don't want pretty sermons anymore. Amen. We want anointing. Yes. We want power. Amen. To set the captives free. Yes. Amen. We want our kingdom. Yes, the promised land. So it's Trevor that brought that word. The promised land. Our land. All the promises God gave us in the book about the land. He was not talking about dirt. He was talking about you. You are my land. And all the glories of you. All the power, all the magnificence of God that dwells in one human soul, that's part of my inheritance in God. You. Amen. You are my land. Ah, hallelujah. For a long time, my enemy has trespassed and has wrecked and has destroyed, defaced, disfigured, broken down my fences, turning wild animals, eat up my grass and my crops, destroyed my land. But in the name of Jesus Christ and by his blood, awake Zion, awake, awake and trim your lamps. Amen. In Luke, we see a story of a lost coin, a lost sheep first, a lost coin, and a lost boy. Amen. The lost sheep was a different nature from the lost coin. And the lost coin and the sheep were different nature from the lost son. And God was said that Jesus Christ came what? To seek and to save what? You notice he didn't tell you what was lost. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, my land, my possession, my inheritance was lost. Lost from me because I was lost from it. I didn't know the way back home. I didn't know where to find it. I didn't know what road to take. I didn't know anything about it. I got saved by Jesus Christ, and I still was lost from my country. Yeah. Amen. I was like a sheep in a wilderness country, not knowing what direction to turn to find my people, to find my home. I want to tell you a story. For 20 years, I called up God, anointed by the Spirit, sent to preach the gospel. I started out with the Missionary Alliance, and I preached in the Missionary Alliance until I reached to a point when they couldn't stand me anymore. They loved the miracles, but the shouting they couldn't stand, because I would get wild sometimes and I would shout, and sometimes days upon days and nights upon nights I would be tramping up and down shouting. Not of my own will or volition, but I was just really gone for God. Amen. And so it happened that they couldn't stand me, so they withdrew from me. And they left me with a little church and the congregation there. And so I went on until I found myself with several churches. And I said, oh my God, the very thing I'm preaching against, I am gone into it. I didn't want a denomination. I didn't want to be a bishop. You told me, you preached to me against this thing. But I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do. Had I the sense that I have now, I would just teach the brethren how to take care of themselves, set them free, and we have an association of love like what you have here. But I didn't have that understanding. I just didn't have it. And so I was perplexed. So I went and submitted myself to another church. And I said, I'm going to submit myself to this bishop. For after all, I couldn't be the only person, God and I. So I'm submitting myself to the bishop. And for 8 years, I suffered pangs. They sent me from place to place, and we never stayed any place for more than 3 years. We built the great mighty headquarters church, and they shifted us out and sent us into a back country. And we just plowed that land and tore up that place and made light, and as the church got prosperous again, they sent us to another back country. And so they sent us, and we kept going. We said, we're going to submit for 8 years, until I couldn't stand it any longer. I said, God, have you forsaken me? God said, no. Remember, many years ago, God told me there were a people in Miami, and that time the people were not yet born. Over 15 years ago, God told us in prophecy in the church there were a people in Miami, and we would go to Miami and meet these people, and the people were not yet born. Amen. And so he resurrected us from that thing and said, get out. He said, God, get out and go where? God said, get out, nowhere to go. We were again lost. We got out, we went home, we sat down at home for 2 years. Wife, children, no church. We go to serve, sometimes we crept out of our shells and went to service. And we were like poison to the congregations. People, we were like poison. They were afraid of us. We are like wolves coming in to tear up this congregation with a new doctrine. And so, brethren, we were just what you call lost. And so we decided, now we prayed, and God said one day, this is it. Go to Miami. So we jumped out of school on Friday, and I think it was, no, we closed something like Thursday. And Friday or Saturday, we were on the plane out of that place to Miami. We went to Miami, we stood up on that plane on the airport, looking at everybody, waiting for a sign from God. We were lost. But God's people weren't lost. We were just out of touch. Amen. We waited at that airport for a good time, almost 3 hours, until we get a slight sign. An unsaved woman come to us and said, are you going to Fort Lauderdale? Come, let's go to Fort Lauderdale. We had no other sign from God. And we jump on a car and off to Fort Lauderdale we went, without knowing whither we went. God again miraculously led us to Sister D. And there again, God led us into this group of people that we had been told about so many years before, and when we went there, we recognized that this was the place God was sending us. Amen. Now, we are talking about the kingdom of God and God's people and how a person can be lost. Amen. A lost sheep don't know how to get back, but the shepherd must find you. Look, brethren, if you have a sheep nature, you need a shepherd.
Amen.
You hear me? Anytime you don't know what you are doing, you don't know exactly what to do, where to go, how to turn, you must have a shepherd. For every sheep without a shepherd is a lost sheep. Yes. Look up now, lift up your eyes, look at the world around. So many lost people. Amen. So many lost people. And some of the people are so lost that they don't know they are lost. For them, the whole world is lost. But they are not lost. You remember the story of that Chinese man? This man was driving in East Kingston. He stopped and asked the boy for a street in West Kingston. So the boy said, "John, you're lost." He said, "It's a way back on the other side of town." So, and the kind man looked at him and said, "No. See me here? Me no lost. It's a place lost." Amen. This is the condition with a lot of lost people. They don't know that they are lost. They say the kingdom of God is lost. They are all right, but it's the kingdom that is lost. And blessed be the God, this sheep nature needing a shepherd is one message that God has really planted deep in my soul. That whenever you don't know where you are, what you're doing, where you're going, where you're coming from, you're a lost sheep. No matter how much saved you are still lost. You need to get in contact with that shepherd.
Yes.
Amen. And that's the reason God set shepherds in his body. For without the anointing, you will never find your sheep. Amen. You hear me? There are sheep in this hour that God is anointing to be found.
Yes.
That is, at least the sheep must have anointed ears that it can cry out.
Yes.
That it can cry out. Amen. And at least the sheep is going to know his shepherd when he sees him. And when the shepherd takes a hold of him, he just feels the rest and the peace. It seems I'm preaching all the messages I preach tonight. The rest and the peace of a sheep found.
Yes.
Amen. And when he's lost, he feels the torment and the distress of a sheep lost.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. A sheep found. He's a happy sheep.
Yes.
Amen. You know the songwriter says, "All through the mountain thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a cry from the gates of heaven. Rejoice, I have found my sheep."
Amen.
And he said the angels echoed around the throne, "Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own." Abraham walked up and down to the promised land. And after he had made the trip something like 2 times, he said to God, "God, I seek a city whose builder and maker is God." He had rejected the carnal, physical, natural land that he had found. And he would only be satisfied with a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Hallelujah. Then God shifted the scene and brought us to the understanding of our coin. A coin with the image of the king on one side. You don't have a king here, but amen, your president on one side. A man's image on one side. The other side has the emblem of the country, the eagle. Amen. And the flag of the country is on the other side. You are that coin. Okay? And here you are, meandering around, are lost, covered over by dirt, wretched, not shiny and pretty like this one, out of use, out of touch, out of everything. How can you be found? How can you get into touch with the people of God, with other coins, into a place where you're valuable? Because remember, outside of the proper place where God has ordained you to be, you are lost.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
More than that, you have no value. Yes. A gold coin, a gold bullion, a little boy found a whole pan of gold under his step in Jamaica. He was playing and digging around and saw the pan. He decided to dig out the pan. It was a pan of gold buried there for hundreds of years. Amen. And the American society, some American society who collects things like these gold bullions, Spanish gold bullion, genuine coin, they paid $50,000 for the one coin, which was valued a pound or $2.50 in those days. They paid him $50,000 for one of the coins. Amen. Take one of those coins, the whole pot of coin, how much was it valued lost? Nothing. Nothing. I've no use to anybody. Brethren, take me up and throw me into a church that don't want my brand of talk. And I'm no value. Amen. Put me with the people of God who want to hear the word that God has given me. And I have value. Take you. Check out from here and say, well, I'm going back to so-and-so, or I'm going back to so-and-so. And when you're ready to prophesy, you bring off that prophecy and see if your gift has any use to them. It would be a curse to you. Your gift in the spirit, which you are able to use, would be a curse to you. Therefore, birds of a feather flock together, and they have value one to another.
Yes.
So God is doing something in the earth today. And that coin with the image and the superscription of God upon it only has use in the place that God has ordained for that coin to be. Outside of this country, if you're an Israelite, stay in Israel. If you belong to Jerusalem, you have no use in Babylon. Babylon throw you away, take you as a pocket piece, beautify your purse with it. It can't be spent. You have no value. And so this coin was lost. And the woman, who you think the woman is now? The woman, the church. She said, I want to find a coin, but I don't have eyes to see it. I'm not going out knocking on every door around there, because if I even meet the true born, true children of God that are to be born unto God, I would know them. It is a hit and miss business. But I know a way that I can find that coin without checking on every, running my hand over every inch of the floor. Amen. I know a way I can find it. I get me a light. Amen. And so there must be an anointing coming forth from oil, from the Holy Ghost. Are you with me?
Yeah.
An anointing coming forth from the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. Then the woman must have eyes of discernment to see with. And so as the anointing comes forth, the light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A light comes forth from your being, and the woman grabs that broom with her hands. Amen. The hands is the ministry. When you study the body of Christ, you'll notice that God built a perfect tabernacle here, which is a facsimile of his mighty body. Amen. And that people are hands. Amen. And fingers and nails. Amen. So the hands are the ministry, both spiritual, or both spirit ministry and the natural man, and the holy broom. Now, do you know that God purposefully made a broom because the hands of the church must hold the broom, and the broom is the Holy Ghost? Amen. The broom is the Holy Ghost, and unless that hand grabs the Holy Ghost is not going to work by himself. Amen. The hand or the church has got to hold on to the Spirit of God, and then, praise God. And so 10,000 little fingers begin to scrape along the ground. The strands from the broom begin to scrape along the ground, and it scrapes up all manner of things, rubbish, paper, and suddenly touches metal, and it cries out. There is a sound, and the woman takes the light. There is her coin. Amen. She picks it up. And now, all of a sudden, the dead, worthless, good-for-nothing coin becomes valuable. She puts it in her purse, and there it is valuable. I'm telling you, many valuable coins are around us. With the love and the Spirit moving, they are going to be drawn into us. Amen. The last one was a boy. Now, he was a son. He knew his way around. He knew how to get out of God. Therefore, pray for him. He'll come back.
Amen.
Amen. The father sat by the window, looking out.
Amen.
Looking out. He had already sent his angels after the boy. And the boy was getting his lessons out there in the hog pen. Amen. He was at school in the hog pen. And he was fighting with hogs to get the best piece of meat out of that garbage. Amen. But the father was looking through the window every day, looking up the street for his ragged looking son coming down. For he knew he would come home. And praise be to God, in this hour, I feel like one of those lost boys at last coming in to the promised land of God. I used to kick the promised land about. I would kick that coin out of my way, looking for the coin and kick it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I see a Christian, I'd begin to analyze his wrongs. I saw the wrong part of him before I saw the God in him. And after all the wrongs that he is guilty of block my eyes, I can't see anything else, much the less to see the Son of God. But God began to teach me, amen, how to see the Son of God first. Amen. And even to disregard the wretched creature that is following the Son of God around. Amen. For once you are born of God, the thing that is of the devil is not you. That is an imposter. It's the same imposter that follows me around. It's the same demonic, carnal, fleshly thing that is trying to hurt my ministry and destroy me, that is trying to hurt you and destroy you. So blessed be the God, I got to learn to get together with my brethren against the thing that they hate and I hate. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But some of us only hate evil in the other person. Blessed be to God, evil must be hated in yourself first, yeah. Yeah. And other men second. Yeah. And just as you go to bed with yourself at night, and you don't despise yourself, don't despise them. For if you have 1 ounce of evil, you're as evil as he who has 10 pounds. Praise God. And in our quest for God's people, you know why? What God showed me there? He showed me that we are going to redeem the whole creation. We are going to deliver humanity out of the rut. For Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished," and he meant it. His job was finished. He has left the Spirit of Christ to inhabit his church. And the Spirit of Christ must bring forth Christ in the earth, yeah, that men may see Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. If they don't see Christ in you, they won't see Christ. Amen. If they don't hear Christ in you, they won't hear him. If you have no anointing to overshadow them with understanding and blessing and deliverance, they won't ever know God. Mm-hmm. You are the ambassadors of God Almighty. Yes. Come from one country to another to represent the country from which you come. Mm-hmm. You are not carnal, physical, brute nature beings that were born of Adam and still representing Adam. You have no relationship to Adam, for you have been born again, and that which was of Adam has been condemned to the gas chambers. Amen. It's dead. It's gone. If you see that thing coming up in you, it's not you. That is not you. The thing that is not of God is not you. Deny it. Deny it. Have no part with it. Don't accept it.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Well, may God help you to understand what I'm talking about. Look here. You find, for instance, a temper blaze in you, and you just feel like blasting up the whole place with your temper. Amen. And you say to yourself, "Oh, I'm no good because I can't get away from this temper." You have admitted, accepted the temper as yours, as part of your inheritance. That has nothing to do with your God and your inheritance. That thing is of the devil. It is a demon spirit that has provoked you and brought you to that. Okay. The same devil that tells, that caused you to get into a blind temper is the same devil that comes and accuses you of being no good because you are still with a temper.
Amen. Amen.
The temper wasn't yours, it was the devil's temper. Don't admit it. Devil said it. Satan, take away your dirty temper from me. Go away.
Yeah.
Don't admit it. Don't accept it. I hear some people talking about my sickness. You are accepting a sickness which has been put upon you by a devil.
Amen.
Don't accept it. It's not your sickness.
Amen.
The other day I rejected a common cold which I used to accept as natural, and the cold left me. Yes, I right in your midst here it happened. I was down with cold and getting feverish and getting awful and feeling bad. And I said, okay, I get up there and I reject it. I said, I don't have it. I don't have a cold. I know I don't have it. Satan caused my nose to run. I don't have a cold. Something is going wrong. It's the devil's cold. I don't have it. I come up here, preach, not a cough. Not a cough. When I went back home, I started coughing. I said, Satan, I won't believe you. And I went on until God woke me up in the middle of the night and started to tell me, it is a demon that is attacking you.
Yeah.
While he was telling me that, he was also telling Mavis that it is the devil, it is a demon spirit. And while I was there talking with God, I began to choke. It was just like somebody threw some fine flour or something like that down my throat, and I know that I was coughing, I was choking rather than coughing from a cold. And I told the devil that I'd found out his trick. The thing went away. The common cold which we always accept went away, and I had no common cold. So, beloved brethren, I want you to know that we have got to move into a new realm of understanding with God and a new area of battle.
Yeah.
Glory to God. God tells me that none of these diseases will come upon his people. He said, if you will obey my words and do what I tell you to do, that all these evil diseases which I put upon the Egyptians, it shall not come upon you.
Amen.
And I believe him.
Amen.
I believe him. If some of you, I'm getting into your business and it's time to get down. If some of you should count the amount of money you have spent at the doctors since you are young children, you would find out that you have given the doctors a fortune. Amen. Let me tell you a record. We had no doctors to go to. We had no money to go to doctors if we were sick. As some of the doctors tell you, you were sick, we would be dead, according to the doctors. But we never died, and we never went to any doctors for 25 years with all the three children and the wife and everybody. We never knew doctors. Now, isn't that peculiar? Why should it be so with one family and not so with your family? Because every time your head hurts you, you run off to a doctor. You had the money to give him, so you gave him. No condemnation. You are in a society where it's like that. We will live in the bush. We had no. We left society. We left the cities and went away in the bushes to preach. And our little children just had to get better when they were sick. Amen. So we come right back to the theme. The anointing of God is what we need. And God will make us worthy shepherds, and we'll find his sheep. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of message, M040, The Anointing of God.